Believers Academy in our series, A Flood of God's Grace. My name is Haley, and we are so happy you have returned to hear more about God's grace in this second lesson with Kelly Copeland Swisher. In this lesson, she will discuss how you can trust God's great grace. Grace comes in like a flood and changes the whole situation. All we have to do is have faith in God and His great grace. Feel free to pause or rewind this teaching at any time to ensure that you can catch every important point. Right below this video are downloads for you to use. There are study aids, scripture references, and more that we want you to have. It's time to begin. Ready? Let's join Kelly Copeland Swisher now.
Hello, I'm Kelly Copeland Swisher, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I am so happy to be here with you today and sharing some things in the Word about dealing with tough situations, getting your family out of strife, setting relationships and situations right with the Word of God. You know, we started yesterday, I started with a prophecy that Dad gave for 2013, saying that it was the year of great grace. And one of the things that the Lord said in that was to keep grace on your mind. And it said, think about it a lot. Grace is coming your way. Grace is being poured out of heaven to us. And that word great grace, the Lord showed me, it doesn't just mean wonderful grace or fabulous grace or even powerful grace. Those certainly are meanings, but what the Lord is saying to us is great grace, a flood of grace coming into your life. And you know, you can look at the last few years, we've seen some really significant floods, some significant tsunamis even, just wipe out an entire country on the coast, wipe out the whole coastline, where it looked one way one minute, and then after a flood or a tsunami, it doesn't even look like the same place. And of course, that's in a negative way. But what the Lord is saying is that great, because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. When sin, a flood of sin comes out as judgment. And when judgment consumes a family, or sin consumes a life, the results are devastating. The results are like those flood results. But when grace comes at you in a flood, the results are supernaturally favored towards me and you. It's like your life can look one way. Maybe somebody in your family sick in their body, or you and your spouse feel like you're at the end of your rope and there's no way forward, you've got to get a divorce, or your children are out there and it doesn't look like they're ever coming home, doesn't look like they're ever going to get their life right, and that grace comes in like a flood and consumes the entire situation, and the landscape is different. And that's what I want you to expect this year. I want you to expect God to move in with grace like a flood. Pour it out on your life, and things do not look in your life at the end of this year like they do today. I want you to take courage. I want you to, you know, they always used to say, get yourself up by your bootstraps. But I want you to get yourself up by your faith. Get a hold of the faith of God on the inside of you today. And hear what I'm saying, because what I'm going to share with you today will come out of the Word. You can apply your faith to it and position yourself to receive the grace that the Lord says He's pouring out on us. Great favor, great grace is yours today. Receive that by faith. Even if your situation doesn't look like that, that's okay. This is the process to receive the grace and the favor from God and receive the things fixed in your life that need to be fixed. I have some steps for you. Next week, we're going to really get down to practicals on daily walking in love, filling your heart up with love, walking in it, because you're not going to be able to do these things that I'm talking about this week without walking in love. So we're going to cover that next week. But this week, we're just going to be real practical in our steps of how to receive change in your family situation or in relationships. The devil, and listen, don't feel alone. If you feel like, man, things seem like they're falling apart in my family. I used to be so close to my kids, and now they're not. You know, they're off doing this, or maybe it's your parents. You're not having a good relationship with parents or spouse. Listen, Satan has attacked the family. He is attacking relationships. He is trying to bring strife. The Word tells us to not be ignorant of his devices. So we're going to turn the light on him this week, and we're going to begin to resist things maybe that you haven't resisted before. I think strife is such an easy place for him to get in. Strife, gossip. You know, we think, well, I don't gossip, but then it's so easy to fall into. So we're going to look at these things and put a stop to these things in our life. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read that once or twice in the next 2 weeks, I can promise you. But what does it say? Love never fails. God said that. Love never fails. We can rely on Him. We can rely on His love in us. And if we walk in love, it will never fail. So we're going to talk about that. And this prophecy that my dad gave, he said, insist on walking in the commandment of love, in my commandment of love. Insist on walking in my commandment of love. So we're going to start with, we started yesterday with step one to overcome or set right, however you want to say it, a relationship or family relationship or families. You may have several relationships because, you know, once strife gets in, it's very easily passed from person to person. And once it gets into a family and begins to take root, it will destroy your family. It will destroy lives. It will destroy the plan of God for you and for people in your family. Strife will destroy a ministry. Strife will stop God's good plan in your life. And it's just time for the church and believers to be done with it. Of course, we know from the Word, and James says, strife, where there's strife, there is confusion and every evil work. You know, we should not be confused. God is speaking. He is giving us, He's given us His Word. The Holy Spirit is talking to us, leading us, telling us what to do. What is the Holy Spirit telling us? This is important. What is the Holy Spirit telling us on a daily basis? He is telling us steps to accomplish, steps to fulfill God's plan for you. Now we're going to get into that God has a plan for you and what that looks like tomorrow. But today we're going to focus on acknowledge God. And maybe we'll get into some of the plan today because actually you can't acknowledge God without acknowledging, oh, He has a plan for me. So hopefully we'll get to some of that today, but if we don't, we'll do it tomorrow. But acknowledge God. So we're going to look here in Jeremiah chapter 17, where we left off yesterday. And I'm reading out of the New Living Bible. It says, cursed, verse 5 says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans. The Amplified says, making weak human flesh his arms. Of course you're going to be cursed. I think the Amplified put it in a good way. If you make weak flesh your arm or the thing you lean on or the thing that you trust in, you're only as strong as what you trust in. And your own weak flesh or somebody else's own weak flesh is just not a good bolstering thing to stand with, to stand on, to stand upon, or to lean on. Of course, we know Proverbs says, don't lean on your own understanding. What you understand, what you can do, your flesh to fix things. And yet, how many times do we rely on our own abilities, our own words to fix something? You know, you get into an argument and you just think, well, if I just keep talking, I can fix this. And it just seems to get worse when really we should just stop and look inside for the love of God to give an answer. When you get in an argument with somebody, don't keep talking. Just shut your mouth. Go inside to the love of God, where the Word says that His love is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. You know, when I teach the kids about the love of God being shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, they don't always get the concept of shed abroad, especially the younger ones. So I talk about a peanut butter sandwich. And you know, nobody likes a peanut butter sandwich with the peanut butter just in the middle, right? When you put peanut butter, good mothers put peanut butter from side to side and from top to bottom, and on the bread where the bread humps like that, you have to go all the way to the top and all the way to the next top and down to the corner and across and then smooth it all over, right? That's the way good mothers make and good dads make peanut butter sandwich. That is shed abroad from side to side, top to bottom. You are filled with the love of God. What is there that could beat that? What could defeat that? The Bible says against the love of God, there is no law that can defeat it. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says love never fails. But it's been put inside of you. God's love has been put inside of you. But you have to access it. You have to put down your flesh and down your own understanding, put it aside, and then come out of the heart of God with what He says. Of course, the more you feed your spirit on the love of God, the more Word is in you, the easier that's going to be. But you're cursed if all you have to lean on is what you can do and what you can think and what you can come up with. Because, you know, for one reason, talking in this situation, God knows what's going on in that person that you're dealing with. He knows what's going on in their heart. He knows what the real issue is, what they're talking about to you, what they seem to be upset at you about, may not even be the real issue. And you're trying to respond to that when all along you have the Holy Spirit in you. Who knows what the issue is? Who can give you the right words to say? I was talking to somebody the other day and they were, kind of in a little bit of a irritate. It wasn't like a huge strife, but huge strife is even more easy to spot than little strife. Little strife is easy to get in, so it's almost more dangerous to ignore that than the big things, because you usually will take care of the big things. But anyway, there was a situation, and someone was irritated at them, and the word that I feel like the Lord gave me for them was, your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now that phrase has always been a little bit to me, what does that mean? What does that mean, the gospel of peace? We know it means the gospel. We know it means the word of God. We know it means, you know, we're saved, free, Jesus died for our sin, our sickness. We know it means that, but think about it this way. My feet, my going, my coming, my actions are covered with the preparation to bring peace to situations. The Word of God prepares me in a hard situation. The Word of God has prepared me to bring a word of peace. Now, that we need to receive that. And when we read the Word, we need to have that in our mind. Lord, as I read your Word today, I thank you that you're preparing me to bring peace to every situation, to every person who has a problem, either with me or somebody else, every home I walk into. Say this about yourself. every room I walk into, every conversation I step into, I just bring the peace of God with me. And you may be somebody who seems the furthest from the peace of God than anybody you can think of. You may think, oh, I have turmoil on the inside of me. I have stuff going on. I don't feel like I bring peace. I feel like I bring, just care and anxiety everywhere I go. Well, the way to stop that is to begin to say about yourself. You don't have to wait until you become peaceful to begin to say this. Because the Prince of Peace lives inside of you. If he lives inside of you, that's a very important point. If he doesn't, then at the end of this broadcast, we'll pray and we'll ask Jesus in, and then you can say, yes, the Prince of Peace lives inside of me. But when peace is inside of you, just step into that. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge him in your heart. Because if you put your trust in your own abilities, then you're cursed. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. You know, I think the King James says that they can't see when good comes. When you're trusting in all these things, you're not seeing hope. You're not going to see when good comes your way. You won't even recognize it, in fact. And I think that the reason this says that is, you know, when you're leaning on yourself, that's what you're looking at as your answer. So when God sends something, you're not going to see it. Also, when you're leaning on yourself, that's pretty depressing. You're going to be downcast. You're not going to have your eyes looking up for something good to come. That comes when you read the Word. That comes when you trust in Jesus, because His goodness has been poured out on you. And so when you're looking at Him as your source, you begin to expect something good. Even in a bad situation, you expect something good. I remember when Lindsay, my daughter, was sick with meningitis and they said that she was not going to live. I just remember thinking, listening to the doctor tell me all this stuff that meningitis would do to her. And she was not in good shape when we got to the hospital, and they did not expect her to live. I found out later. So they're trying to prepare me. And he just kept saying all this stuff that would happen, and she, you know, could die, and kids don't have long enough with this disease for antibiotics to work, so they die very quickly. And he's telling me all this. And I just remember thinking, I was hearing it, but it wasn't registering in me to expect that. I just kept thinking, no, Jesus paid the price for her. And I had the greatest peace. But I wasn't leaning on him, the doctor. I wasn't leaning on my own ability, which was a good thing, because there's nothing either one of us could do to help Lindsay. But I was leaning on Jesus, and I was just expecting good things. Sitting there, I remember sitting there listening to him thinking, no, she's going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And when he finished, I said, okay, I understand what you're saying. Now let me tell you that Jesus died for her to be healed, and she will live and not die. And you know, I don't know he was a Christian. He didn't say he was, but he looked at me and he goes, I can agree with that. I don't even know if he knew what he was saying, but he got in on my agreement because he saw the good that I saw. And that's how, when you trust in the Lord, there's something good to be watching out for. So it says in verse 7, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along the riverbanks, with roots that reach deep into the water. Of course, next week we're going to talk about letting your roots go down into love. It makes you stable. It makes you secure. When all this stuff is going on, think about a drought. And think about a tree. A little shrub has its roots that go just under the surface. And they're stunted because they're relying on whatever is going on up here. If you get rain up here, that shrub can get some water. But when a tree's roots go down deep, then that's where they're getting their source. That's where they're getting their life. That tree is getting its life from deep down into God, not relying on all the stuff up here. That's why the heat that comes doesn't bother that big tree, because its roots go down deep And it says it's not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And that's when we trust in the Lord. When we acknowledge Him, that's where our roots go down into Him. And things can happen and things go on around us, but He is our source. So that's step number one. We acknowledge Him, that He is our source. And so we're going to be looking for something good to happen in our family. In acknowledging Him, we look to Jesus. I want to read to you in Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll probably come in and out of Ephesians these next few days. But in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to talk about this, some things in Ephesians. We're talking about the plan, but right now I want to read to you, it says in verse 11, because we are united with Christ, we've received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. Now, if you want His plan, and I can promise you it's a good one, we're going to read in the Word, He has a plan for you, and it is a wonderful, enjoyable plan. His plan for you is not to be in a mess. That is not His plan. You know, people say all the time, well, this must be God's will, or this must be His plan. You know, if everything that happened in our life was God's plan, it would all be good stuff, because His plan is good for us. His plan is a blessing for us. He's got good things planned for you. We're going to read Ephesians 2:10 tomorrow, and you're going to see His plan is a good one, and one that you would find pleasing. Everything that happens in your life is not the plan of God. But how do you step out of that? By receiving His plan by faith, by beginning to listen to Him, by beginning to do things the way He tells you to do them. What's going to happen? He's going to walk you through those situations straight into His plan. Every word the Holy Spirit tells you is to bring the plan to pass. But I wanted you to notice here, it says that to have this plan come to pass, we have to be united with Christ. We have to be united with Jesus. And of course, in John, the Word tells us, in John 15, talks about abiding. You know, all you have to do to stay united to Jesus is just abide. What does a branch have to do to keep life? It has to stay connected to the vine. And that's what we have to do. We have to acknowledge Him. We have to stay connected to Him. And by staying connected and rooted into Him, we are connected and rooted into His plan. And we can hear what He has to say to us. We can obey what He has to say to us. And we can live that plan. So acknowledge Him. Step one today, and we'll finish it out tomorrow, acknowledge God. And tomorrow we're going to talk about acknowledging His plan for you.
Okay, that's the end of lesson two in the series, A Flood of God's Grace. This teaching is really good. Don't forget to download the free study documents right under this video. I know you'll really enjoy them. Plus, review to see what you remember. Now, get ready for lesson three. Synchronize yourself with God's plan. You won't want to miss it. Until next time, remember, Jesus is Lord.